Chapter 22. The Fourth Necromancer War. The ship listed in air as the mountain winds played havoc with the rigging. Jinzan knew the seas and knew them well. He knew where to find a tailwind in any season, and where the currents could be used to best advantage. The skies were a mystery. It was as if they possessed a different type of air entirely from what blew nearest the ground and waves. The Black Gull had been rededicated Dakun, after the god of death, though the illusion was lost on anyone unfamiliar with Telyaraki mythology. Jinzan and his crew of enslaved Kadrin sky sailors had taken as many of the Gelkan apprentices aboard as fit, and skirted the ogre lands on their way into eastern Kadrin. The conquest of Gland's Reach had been a lark, a mere test on the way to a real city. A small contingent of apprentice necromancers were left behind to tend and herd the newly risen dead, while the rest continued onward. Jinzan clutched the staff of Galen and wondered at the power it possessed. Sources would be rent asunder, sucked free of ether as easily as slurping soup from a bowl. It seemed a quick, painless death. It was a kindness to the Kadrins who were being converted to the Magrin cause, to pass beyond pain into a post-life of useful servitude in a better cause than they had known in life. When the gentle plains around Gland's Reach had given way to the mountains further inland, was when Jinzan realized how little he knew of airship flight. The dead crew was obedient, but seemed sluggish in its actions and reactions. If any of his own sorcerers had known how to work the ship's controls, he would have at least appointed one of them to altitude control. They brushed the tops of alpine trees and yawed dangerously close to crags that they would have done well to fly above. "How close are we to Reaver's Crossing?" Jinzan shouted over the wind. He could have thought the question, but he was still unaccustomed to doing so, and always thought of it too late.
"We are close. Just two peaks left. Should be two marks off starboard," the captain replied.
The thing was already decomposing a bit, and he was only days old. Jinzan might have been adept at creating the dead vessels, but had much to learn on the reanimation process. Lorimar's creations lasted seasons by his own writings.
"Fine, just get us there in one piece. Stop flying so low," he ordered.
He amended his verbal command with a series of telepathic ones to the crew at large, especially the sorcerer, whose source, he suspected, might need replenishing before they arrived at Reaver's Crossing. None of his own living sorcerers spoke to him unless spoken to. There was no idle conversation, none of the gentle teasing he had received as he learned the rudiments of necromancy. He saw awe in their eyes when he looked at them.
"I am not Lorimar, yet. I will earn that respect, I swear it."
Reaver's Crossing was an old trade route built up over hundreds of summers. The pendulous rope bridge that had spanned the crossing in lost seasons had been replaced first by a wooden bridge, then a stone one, then another stone version worked by magic into a span no architect in Vaedrus could have gotten to stand on its own. It straddled Reaver's Gorge with an unsupported length of over 200 paces. The city had grown along with a bridge, from a cabin at either end with travelers' supplies, to an outpost, to a trading city, to a strategic fortress, and finally to the keystone of the defense of the Empire's heartland against Gelk. It had fallen twice to Lorimar, and twice had been taken back. Nestled into the mountainsides on the north and south sides of the gorge, the citizens had taken a lesson from ancient Rainsdark and tunneled their city into the mountains. Though split by the Great Bridge, each side was nigh impregnable. Of course, a significant exception to that invulnerability was via the air, where the long, narrow pass made it treacherous for armies to march up precarious ground while under fire from the city's defenders. If one possessed an airship, or perhaps a dragon, the city was an egg, hard around the outer edge, but soft inside. The first they saw of it was the bridge, its long, shallow arch of seamless, charcoal-colored granite. They were looking up at it, for though his crew had obeyed Jinzan's command to pull them higher, the mountain still rose all around them, and Reaver's Crossing was higher up than anyone had realized.
"You fools! Higher!"
Jinzan shouted. He did not wait for them to obey, but rather thrust a hand and conjured a gale force updraft to speed their ascent.
"Ready shielding spells for the hull and yourselves," he added, switching to Gelkin, since the dead needed no words and his followers spoke only their own tongue.
"This would all be so much simpler if everyone spoke Magrin. I should see to that once we conquer Kadrin. It is always nice to have long-term goals."
When first the Dakun appeared over the walls, it seemed the Kadrans had no idea that they were under attack. Jinzan surmised that the Kadrans assumed they were a Kadran ship, filled with their own troops. He laughed, or tried to. His voice went hoarse, and he turned his mirth internally to save face in front of his apprentices. He ordered the crew to find a landing spot. They circled the city a bit, awkwardly by his judgment, looking for a flat enough spot to land. The city was built like a set of stairs into the mountainside. The dead captain eventually found a small plaza that was large enough to fit the ship and set it down. It ignited panic among the Kadran merchants and shoppers, furious and scared by the unplanned interruption of their trade. Jinzan strode to the railing and unleashed the staff's power, drawing in ether from any Kadran who could be reached. Sorcerers crumpled dead, like discarded dolls, wherever he drew. The smooth wood of the staff warmed in Jinzan's hands. He had developed a knack for buffering ether within it, rather than taking it all within himself.
"Get down there! Spread out! Begin subduing the populace. Those of you who can animate, you are given leave to do so. Focus on armed resistance first. I do not need an army of cloth peddlers and washerwomen. We will get to them later," Jinzan instructed.
Rope ladders were thrown over the sides of the Dakun, and Gelkin sorcerers clambered down. It was an awkward operation as none of the crew he had brought along had any combat experience, or much exposure to the out-of-doors, physical activity, or military command. All the experienced sorcerers had already been sent to war, or were being held back in defense of Princess Xian. Still, they were versed in Lorimar's techniques under Jinzan's guidance. They were Death's apprentices. Jinzan was the last down. He felt ancient, his creaking joints protesting the relatively acrobatic task of putting a leg over the rail. Nothing hurt, or at least his recent mental training had inured him to the pains of his mortal body.
"Remarkable man, that Lorimar. I really should be up and about more, though. The war should limber me up once I accustom myself to its rigors. My body may only be a vessel for my source, but it still needs to be a working vessel."
"Report," Jinzan ordered. He stood in the hub of the Undercity in the southern half of Reaver's Crossing. He had never gotten much of a chance to see the version in Rain's Dark, but suspected this one was more hospitable. There was an underground waterfall that poured into a public fountain, and down into the sewers, and more ventilation shafts up to the surface than he knew Rain's Dark to possess. A series of panels spread across the cavern ceiling, the westernmost of them illuminated, creating an artificial sunset for the subterranean residents.
"We have no census to judge by, Grand Necromancer, but we believe there is no organized resistance remaining on this side. Any left alive are in hiding or found a way to flee," Eolin informed him.
She was first among his apprentices and the only one whose name he routinely bothered with. The rest had been introduced to him in a whirlwind of recruiting that followed his emergence as Lorimar's heir. "What of the north side?"
"They have dropped the portcullis gate and manned the walls. They are prepared for an attack," she replied.
"Not like the one we have planned," said Jinzan.
The corners of his mouth twitched upward.
"Losses on our side?"
"Renvik. He has already been reborn. The damage to his body was only mortal, not structural. His source and mind seem fairly sound, and we stopped most of the bodily leakages," Eolin replied.
She stood there, arms at her sides, chin raised in an attempt at military formality. Jinzan's eyes wandered down her, remembering that when he had first met her, he had found her attractive. He saw her differently now,
her smooth skin just a protective hide that kept her muscles free from particulate and seepage, her breasts mere glands and ductwork, her legs a collection of sinews like the rigging of a ship. He could take her to pieces, tie a string around each part, label and catalog it. A regiment of dead Kadrin soldiers arrived with a wagon load of fresh corpses. They pulled it by hand, since living horses were spooked by the walking corpses, and he had not gotten around to reanimating any dead ones.
"Lay them out in rows," Jinzan ordered.
He noticed a few stragglers, dragging additional corpses by the ankles, and winced at the damage being done to the bodies, especially the brains. Lorimar had methods to control the dead by source alone, but Jinzan only knew how to master them by whatever was left of their minds. "They only need to last a little while," Aeolin commented, seeing as well as he had that the rough-handled corpses would not be good for much, or for long. "Thus far I'm not finding myself impressed with the brains of the dead," Jinzan muttered. Aeolin overheard him and laughed, though he had not meant it as a joke.
"Sir, riders have been sent, but it could be days before any help arrives," the soldier reported.
He wore Lord Saren's orange and gray livery over his chainmail, and could not have been more than 20 winters.
"I am aware of the predicament we face, soldier," Colonel Aphis snapped. "Dismissed."
He stood atop the battlements on the north tower of Reaver's Crossing. He could have held the small keep against an army of ogres, even a monohorn charge, but not against an airship of sorcerers. When the fighting had broken out, they had sent 100 infantry across as reinforcements, but none had reported back. The far side had gone silent, a bad sort of silent. A victorious force would have reported back. A continued struggle would have been heard across the gorge. Whatever had befallen was over, at least for now.
"Blast them to pieces for not stationing an airship here for our defense," Lord Saren said.
His circle advisor, a third circle named Janin Redwind, stood by his side, looking at the southern half of the city. Colonel Aphis rather suspected his lord wanted the airship for escape, and not tactical advantage.
"If an Imperial airship has gone missing, I am sure there will already be a search underway," said Sorcerer Janin.
He was a slight man with a placid look pasted across his face and his hands tucked into opposite sleeves. Aphis knew he chewed some sedative herb that he kept quiet about, but Aphis had spies all through the crossing.
"They're coming!" came a shout from somewhere along the wall.
Colonel Aphis turned to look down the length of the bridge and saw a ragged line advancing at a run. There were scores, perhaps over 100. It seemed impossible that the enemy airship could have held so many.
"Bows to the ready!" he shouted.
Something kept him from ordering the volley. Shouts from the advancing force began to reach him, a cacophony of voices with no clear message discernible. Aphis watched as they approached. By the halfway point across the bridge, he knew what was wrong. They were not soldiers.
"Stand down!" he called out.
"What are you..." Lord Saren began.
"Open the portcullis," Aphis said, cutting him off.
"I said, what are you..."
"They're ours, my lord," Colonel Aphis explained. "Kadrins, unarmed and fleeing the south side."
There was a clanking of chains and winches as the gate was opened.
"Stupid," Jinzan said and shook his head.
He watched as the Kadrin forces invited their own doom to enter their walls.
"How could they expect it?" Aeolin asked. "You planned for them not to understand, and it worked."
"Can you hear the screams now?" Jinzan asked.
"The fires are from their own sorcerer, but they are frightened nonetheless. If that sorcerer had paid attention to the ether, he would have known." Aeolin smiled at him. She raised her eyebrows.
"Ah, yes, they wait for my command."
"Advance and leave no Kadrin alive," Jinzan ordered.
300 or so risen Kadrin soldiers marched at the fore of a host of nearly 3,000 risen peasants. All they had time to animate before deciding it was time to attack. When the bridge had filled with his dead troops, Jinzan and his disciples fell in behind them, ready to clean up the remains of the Kadrin force and loot the city of whatever riches they found a need for. There are creatures that nature sends to cleanse a battlefield. The crow, the vulture, the wolf, the worm. Nature has no place at a necromancer's feast. The dead are consumed, stolen away from worm, wolf, vulture, and crow. Though history had yet to mark it, the fourth necromancer war had begun.